This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
Spend time in the country, city ain't for me. Put down my phone, go out alone, and I let my spirit be. I'm taking just a little bit of time, baby, taking just a little bit of time. Taking just a little bit of time, baby, I'm taking just a little bit of time. I like to go by the river, sit on the banks all day. With a pole and a line, nothing on my mind. I could hear what the catfish say. Here's what they say: I'm taking just a little bit of time, baby. Taking just a little bit of time. I'm taking just a little bit of time, baby. Taking just a little bit of time. I like to take my shoes off, go barefoot on the ground. I take a gander at a little salamander, and I watch him kidding around. Salamander say, I'm a taking just a little bit of time, baby. Taking just a little bit of time. Well, I'm taking just a little bit of time, baby. Taking just a little bit of time. Railroad track. I walk all day for miles and miles. I don't care when I get back. I'm taking just a little bit of, taking just a little bit of time. I'm taking just a little bit of time, baby. Taking just a little bit of time. I keep whiskey in my pocket. Sometimes I make it gin. Sometimes I tote a keg of beer. It depends what mood I'm in. I'm a taking just a little bit of time, baby. Taking just a little bit of time. I'm taking just a little bit of time, baby. Taking just a little bit of time. In the city, folks are in a hurry, and I gotta get out their way. In the country, I go wandering. I won't see a soul all day. I'm a taking just a little bit of, taking just a little bit of time. Well, I'm taking just a little bit of time, baby. Taking just a little bit of time. I'm taking just a little bit of, taking just a little bit of time. Yes, I'm taking just a little bit of time, baby. Taking just a little bit of time.
His albums include Sonny and Brownie's Last Train, Skunk Mellow, Sweetheart Like You. That's just a sample. What's a Piedmont blues picker like you doing in a place like this?
I'm in here sipping that coffee you just made for me, Kate, and enjoying it. I'm here just trying to spread the word about this little mini tour I'm on, yeah, and saying hey to folks and letting you know that music is not dead, especially folk music.
So happy that you took the time to stop by Concord, New Hampshire to spread the word about what you've been up to.
You just reminded me when I came in the door that the last time I was here, I was with Pete Seeger and his grandson, Tal Rodriguez Seeger.
That's right.
We were on tour, and that song I just sang, I wrote it the year that Pete died. That's one of a few songs I wish he'd lived to hear, because it was written in his spirit. And I like that there's a little line about playing my banjo and walking the railroad tracks. That was definitely dedicated to Uncle Pete.
Last time you were here, you were talking about Odetta and being by her bedside, and you played Payday, the Odetta tune.
Yes.
So a lot of folks have contributed to your tapestry of music. Is that correct?
Yes. Thank you for putting it that way. How well you put it. A tapestry is something that has color and texture. And texture is so important. Mm-hmm. It's the way sound rubs against your ears. And then with Odetta and Pete, that was the way people rubbed against my life. And now, along with music, I want to share that. I want to let people know that not only their two lives counted, but everybody's, yours does. The people listening to our lives count. We got to share with each other, share our words, our thoughts.
You're always sharing that message. We all need more kindness in this world. That's a tune that we enjoy playing on this program. Which album was that on? Do you remember?
Oh, Lord, that goes back a good ways.
Yeah.
I actually can't remember.
That's okay. You don't have to.
More than two decades ago, and I can't.
How did the son of the great Ruby Dee and Ozzie Davis come to embrace blues music?
Well, part of it, I'm going to say, was in the blood, was in the genes, so that when I heard it the first time, I didn't know specifically what it was or that it was black folks' music, but I knew it felt special, and it reminded me of what I heard in church when I accompanied my grandma to the local Baptist church. I went to a summer camp run by Pete Seeger's brother, John, up in Vermont back when I was about 8 years old. That's when I first heard a five-string banjo and a lot of six-string guitars and some violins and maybe one or two harmonicas. And when blues music came up at that camp, it tended to be more something like Bessie Smith or Josh White, like Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out, or Can't Help Loving That Man of Mine. But somehow it was always on the near periphery of my life. We didn't have blues music in our house as I was growing up, not specifically, but yet it found its way in. And I remember my grandmother, my dad's mom, saying to me, you know, you sound a little bit like your grandfather there, because my granddad used to play a harmonica, I'm told. And I don't know if his brothers formed a sort of like a string band with him, but, you know, the rumors persist.
Well, you're looking really great. Have you been working out? You look pretty fabulous.
Well, if I look decent, part of it, I'm sure, has to do with running through airports, catching and sometimes missing airplanes with arms filled with guitars, baggage, CDs,
right.
Everything else. And I noticed as I was coming in, you give these studio doors a workout. They're heavy. In case the folks out there listening don't know, I mean, there's steel, metal, lead, thick glass, everything is in these doors. And Kate opens. That's why Kate's going to live a long
time. Right, it's soundproof.
She goes right into this. Yeah, there's you heard a downward facing dog. Well, there's dog opening door. And she was whooping these doors.
You know, I'm going to have to credit the music with my health. Music is the healing property in my life, I think. It's always been there.
Music is more than just what gets played on the air. Sometimes it's the little 2-year-old nephew who just made up a tune standing there in his crib, you know, and there's music there.
Sure.
And music has got magic to it. It's valid just because it is. It doesn't have to pass anybody's test. Doesn't have to be on America's Idol, American Idol, or America's Most Wanted, or whatever the heck.
Whatever
that thing is. Yeah, it's here. And it, believe me, you'll know it when it rubs against your ears. It might be the music of words, the way they bounce off of each other. There's music everywhere if you look.
Speaking of which, let's hear some more music and we'll come back and talk about the 2017 recording that you did with the tribute to some great blues performers.
Okay then. Well, let us see, what have we... It was a song I wrote close to 30 years ago called Watch Over Me. It's a song of love and protection. I used to sing it for my son at night to get him to go to sleep. But I had to stop singing it because he learned it. He'd sing it to me and I'd go to sleep. Now, don't you be snickering out there, because for all I know, he could have been out driving your truck. So anyway, this is called Watch Over Me. Be my shelter from the storm. Please hold me in your loving arms. Well, I need somebody, someone to watch over me. When I ain't got nothing, when I'm all out and down, please, please remember me. When I'm 6 feet in the ground, whoa, I need somebody, someone to watch over me. Well, you know I try to call you through the wind and through the cold. Couldn't find nobody, Lord, not to save my soul. Well, I need somebody, someone to watch over me. Play it for me. Across my bed, these were the words rushing through my head. Well, I need somebody, someone to watch over me. Listen to me before I go. There's just one thing that I want you to know. Well, I need somebody, someone to watch you for me.
Davis in our studio here at the Folk Show in New Hampshire Public Radio. A tune called Watch Over Me, a tune he used to sing to his son. Isn't that right? How many children do you have?
I have one son.
Mm-hmm.
But back when he was real small, he used to be able to divide himself into two bodies and run in two different directions. I'd be looking at him and pew, wouldn't know where to find him.
He'd be spinning around.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, Pops got dizzy.
Well, let's take a short break and we'll come back and talk a little bit more with Guy Davis here on The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
On the next morning edition, as the coronavirus spreads, stocking up on prescription meds won't be easy.
Have you ever tried to deal with your insurer over the phone? Can you even get through?
Also, a special election in Georgia could jeopardize Republicans' hold on a Senate seat.
Whether or not Donald Trump weighs in on this race really is the multi-million dollar question.
Those stories and more on the next morning edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition weekdays with Rick Ganley from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here at New Hampshire Public Radio. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Flying Monkey Performance Center in Plymouth, presenting Tapestry, the Carole King Songbook, March 20th, and Judy Collins, March 21st. Flying Monkey, NH.com. And Birch Hill, a nonprofit retirement community for independent adults with on-site health care in a country setting just minutes from Manchester. Learn more at birchhillrc.org. You're listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio, and in the studio with us, we've got Guy Davis. We were talking just a moment ago about singing to his son. We played a tune called Watch Over Me. Guy also has a one-man play that he did, and also some children's activities or some teaching that's going on. So tell us a little bit about what that's all about.
There is a program called Teaching Tolerance, and it's more than a decade old. More than that, what, maybe 15 years old, something like that. And virtually in every school in America, there is a book or a booklet with the title, I think, I Will Be Your Friend, which happens to be the title of a song I wrote, which is in this booklet. It's just part of a collection of songs. And it's to encourage young minds to think in terms of reaching out and listening and being friendly. Other than that, teaching is just an old man like myself running his mouth, and kids will listen or they won't. It's part of the reason I entertain, is that they're more likely to do a little more listening.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, right.
Possibly.
And so what made you decide to get into that tolerance realm and do that kind of teaching?
It wasn't so much that I made a positive step to do that as it was brought to my attention that it would be a good idea of to use my song in a way that, you know, might be useful. Mm-hmm. So I'd written the song, so why not get it to where people are going to see it? And the payoff for me, one of the many payoffs, most of them I will probably never see, but one of them was in New York City at a place called Symphony Space. My neighbor's daughter, who was part of her classroom full of young children, was brought by their teacher to a concert I did, and they surprised me and got on stage and sang my song, I Will Be Your Friend.
Wow.
And they wanted me to perform with them. So I said, there's a big payoff right
sure.
there.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And why shouldn't a song like I Will Be Your Friend be part of that, I'll call it lexicon of friendship, lexicon of outreach. And I'm sure there are other songs just as good, but I'm glad that mine was amongst them.
That's great. I think we need to do more spreading that word around. Mm-hmm. I hear a lot about bullying in schools these days, and it's just so heartbreaking to know that that's happening. And so if we can increase the amount of tolerance we have for each other, then more respect. And be
yes,
more friendly.
Indeed. And these young folks doing the bullying in and out of the schools are learning it from somewhere,
right.
From not so young folks, including in the upper echelons of our own government. And I'm not happy about that. And I'm sure today's show is not a show where we're supposed to sit out here, call people out, name names. The idea is that we got to get back to truly teaching a sense of tolerance. And the willingness to listen to one another as we speak, as we sing, as we learn to share food, share stories.
Amen to that, Guy Davis.
Huh.
Amen to that. Hey, talk about The Adventures of Fishy Waters.
The Adventures of Fishy Waters, good Lord, that is nearly 30 years old.
Holy
as well.
Cow, that doesn't seem possible.
I wrote that before I think I was ready to truly perform it. In about 1990 or 91, I started it. I was an understudy on Broadway in New York City. The play was called Mule Bone, written by Langston Hughes and Zora Neale Hurston, two black authors. Back in the 20s or 30s, this piece was written. And it was being revived and remodeled for Broadway. My mother had introduced me to the work of Zora Neale Hurston before this play ever came about. Before the revival of this play ever came about. And my dad and mom were friends with Langston Hughes from eons ago. And as I was down, the green room and dressing room was downstairs below the stage, so I could hear the actors' feet above me on the stage every show. I'd be downstairs. And I was thinking to myself, man, I could tell these stories better than that guy. I know this. I could tell. What? That? Oh, come on. I could do. So rather than be a rabble-rouser, I wrote a play while I was backstage or down in that green room. I wrote and wrote and wrote, and it became a collection of folk tales strung together with a bit of a plot. And ultimately, using humor and tragedy and adventure and tall tales, I wove together a story of a young man who's a hobo, not so young man, who's a hobo, who tells about his adventures, his being on the road, how running into a group of hobos changed the course of his life. And that's somewhat of how Fishy Waters came about. But it was from listening to great storytellers. One of the storytellers I listened to was a fellow named John Henry Falk. He had been listed on the HUAC, House on American Activities Committee, as either a communist or communist sympathizer. And I didn't start seeing him on television until the show Hee Haw in the 1960s. Well, I got to meet this man at the end of the 1970s. What a brilliant storyteller he was. And my parents introduced me to him. And I loved his work, his ability to take words and paint pictures. And if you want another great example of that, that's Garrison Keillor. Oh, yeah. Anything doing with Prairie Home Companion. The man, with just a few words, it paints a whole scenario. And the art of it is not using too many words, too detailed and specific, because otherwise that means you got to be there to watch a painting happen, and not too vague, because you don't want it nebulous. Just the right amount of the right words will make you see things, and that is that's the magic that we artists treasure. Musical artists, visual artists, theater artists, all manner of artists.
Now, you appeared on Prairie Home Companion, right?
I did. Oh, Lord, yeah. This goes back a nice chunk of ways. I guess we're talking close to 30 years once again.
And are you still acting? Do you have a...
I am from time to time, but it's much less than the music I do. But the shows I do, I always get to tell stories, so acting is never too far away from me. Not too far.
Now, what about the recent album? Well, not so recent now, but 2017 album, where you pay tribute to Brownie McGee and Sonny Terry.
That album was produced by Fabrizio Poggi, who is a man. He is a harmonica player and a writer. An author lives in northern Italy, and he has produced other of my work, and I've had him on my CDs. I've had him on stage with me during my shows. I've been on stage in front of his band over the past getting close to 20 years here, getting close to 20 years. And he asked me if I would choose some of Sonny and Brownie's songs and let us, the two of us, do a CD to honor the two of them. And don't you know, we did this thing, most covers of either stuff they wrote or stuff that they were covering, you know, songs by Lead Belly, songs by whoever. And there's one song of mine in it called Sonny and Brownie's Last Train, which turned out to be the title of our work. And don't you know this thing got nominated for a Grammy? So Fabrizio and I were sitting at the Grammys a couple of years ago.
How fun is that?
Oh, it was wild. Wow. As wild to see Lady Gaga.
Isn't that great?
Everybody was there.
Fabulous to be honored for your work.
Yeah. So we got nominated. Some bums called the Rolling Stones. Won the prize, but
What are you going to do?
You'll never hear from them again.
That's so yesterday.
Yeah, so 5 minutes ago, those guys.
Guy Davis is our guest in the studio on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Got another tune you can play?
Oh, yes. Thank you. I'm about to take first a sip of your coffee.
Mm-hmm. Gotta have that.
Good to the last drop. I'm going to do a song that I wrote, but it is in the spirit of Sonny Terry. I couldn't have written or performed this song had I not stolen from Sonny Terry. But fear not, listeners, it took me 20 years to steal from him. This is not a cheap theft. It's like I did the time. In order to steal from him, you actually have to improve as a musician. You can't just kind of idly blow this stuff on your harmonica. The song I'm going to do is called New Shoes. I will have a new CD coming out in which I'm doing a song called Long Gone Riley Brown, which is a song I heard Sonny and Brownie do. And I heard Pete Seeger do another sort of version of the same song. And I've got something cooking, but it's not released yet. So here comes New Shoes. I was wearing my old shoes, but I got on my new shoes now. I was wearing my old shoe, but I got on my new shoes now. And I feel like dancing, I feel like dancing. I was wearing my old clothes, but I got on my new clothes now. Well, I was wearing my old clothes, but I got on my new clothes now. And I feel like dancing, feel like dancing. I was thinking my old thoughts, but I'm thinking some new thoughts now. I was thinking my old thoughts, but I'm thinking some new thoughts now. And I feel like dancing, I feel like dancing. Well, I got on my new shoes, and I'm wearing my new clothes, and I'm thinking my new thoughts, and I feel like dancing, I feel like dancing.
Mr. Guy Davis here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. What's a show in Switzerland going to be like? Is it going to be like a show here for you?
There's going to be lots of chocolate and cuckoo
and
clocks.
Coffee.
And coffee. Well, it's filled with listening people similar to here.
Right.
But here there seems to be so many internet alternatives that people don't actually have to talk to each other at all or go anywhere together to do anything. Just turn on, flip your phone on and you've got access to the whole world and you can shut out everybody.
So the new album that you're going to do in the next year or so, you think? Is that your timeline?
I'm hoping a few months. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping a few months.
Yeah. You're going to be busy traveling to Europe and then coming back. We'll get to see you here in the Northeast again.
Yeah.
In the summertime, you're going to be bringing back your gumbo grits and gravy show.
Yeah.
What's that about? Gumbo? I like that. Grits? That's okay. Gravy?
I'm the gravy man. Okay. Well, there are two musicians with me. One is a lady named Anne Harris, who is a violinist, and my gosh, she is excellent. She is beyond excellent. She knows her instrument inside out, and she makes a sound that does indeed rub against your ears in a wonderful way. And she can do it while doing a back bend. So,
oh my goodness.
I don't know how to explain any of that, because when I look at her, my back just gets a little stiffer.
Well, she the gumbo or the grits?
She is the grits.
Mm-hmm.
The gumbo was provided by a young woman named Marcella Simeon, who happens to be the daughter of Terrence Simeon,
uh-huh.
The wonderful Zydeco musician. And Marcella is not only that, she's inherited her father's skills and talents, but she plays a straight keyboard, but she can just stand at a microphone and sing so beautifully. She's got a group called Marcella and Her Lovers. And when you see and hear her, you say, I want to be a lover. I want to be one of your lovers. Can I be a lover, please? She's, oh my God, she covers Etta James doing I'd Rather Go Blind. And I'm telling you, that just reaches right into your bones. I got a chance to open for Etta. I had a copy of Tell Mama, the B-side of which was I'd Rather Go Blind from 1968. And I got Etta to sign that thing. And I do indeed appreciate a well-sung song. And Marcella is the lady to do that. So the three of us together, let's just say we're on sort of a musical adventure. We've decided that we don't have boundaries. We're going to play what we like. We're going to play what we write. The only difficulties we have are that we don't live near each other. One's in Chicago, one's in Memphis, and I'm in Bronx, New York. So if we get together at all, a couple of times we've met up down at Marcella's house in Memphis and just worked on tunes. But it's not the same as being able to just kind of run into each other every day. So we have to use our energy wisely. That's where the adult part comes in.
You have to do adulting?
I have to look at me. Those guys, they're plenty adult, the two of them. Me, I could get a little, I'm such a big baby occasionally.
This is The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. We're visiting with Guy Davis. We'll hear some more music and visit some more with Guy as The Folk Show continues at New Hampshire Public Radio in just a moment.
Spring is almost here, and it's time to get outside and explore New Hampshire. And to help you along, NHPR is giving away 7 weekend getaways, one in each of the Granite State's distinct regions. All you have to do is join our statewide community of public radio supporters, and you'll be automatically entered. You could also win our grand prize, a trip for 2 to Alaska. The sooner you give, the more chances you have to win. Give today at nhpr.org.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, in Bellicente Pasta Farm, offering gourmet ravioli, fresh pasta, and farmstead sauces, available at Concord, Nashua, and Seacoast Winter Farmers Markets, GIMMIE spaghetti.com. This is The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Guy Davis was kind enough to stop by our studio on his way through the Northeast. Such a treat. I know you're going to be over in Center Harbor this summer as part of the Summer Acoustic Music Week.
Yes,
what's
indeed
your plan for that? Will we be talking about songwriting primarily or playing? What do you think your focus will be?
I have to tell you, this is the funniest thing. This will be, close to, it's more than 25 years. We've been at it, somewhere around a quarter of a century. I don't know which side of that it is. And I have taught damn near everything up there, from banjo to guitar with harmonica in a rack, to harmonica by itself, songwriter. So I'm not sure what I am teaching this year. And I'm going to be seeing the lady who's running it now, Lorraine Hammond. I will be seeing her tomorrow. And I'll get straight on that. We'll be sure to tell everybody. But the truth is, I've never felt confined by whatever the classroom orders are. If I'm walking around there and somebody asks me to show them something, even if it's not from a class I'm teaching, I'm going to show them because that's what I'm there for. So, yes, occasionally I've done a performing class where people will get up and do something they do. And the idea is to maybe tweak it, or not just for its own sake, but sometimes there's some little small thing that could make a difference. Mm-hmm. It was Valerie Turner, the wonderful woman from Piedmont Blues, the duo, Ben and Valerie
Turner. The Melody Makers?
Yeah. Okay. Ages ago, she was in my class. I have no idea why. This was out west somewhere. And she could sing these songs that she learned from John Cephas. And she sang them the same way in the same key that he did. The tiniest tweak, I said, Valerie, take your capo, put it up 2 frets on your guitar and start again. The only reason it was better had to do with her voice. The delivery of her voice sounded better a little bit higher. This is stuff I know from performing. It had nothing to do with her skill, mm-hmm. had nothing to do with her musical acumen, genius, and all those other 3-syllable words that go to describe her and other people I love. It's like when they say you want the best part of the bat to hit the best part of the ball. That's what it was about,
sure.
Just a tweak, a very tiny tweak. So occasionally in performance classes, we do that.
It's more proof that you can't do this in isolation,
no,
right?
You
need
can't.
Each other.
You
got to
get in front of people and mm-hmm. share it.
Mm-hmm.
Hell or high water, you got to do it. And can you say hell on the radio? I sure
I
hope so.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the Summer Acoustic Music Week that we're talking about in Center Harbor, New Hampshire. There's mm-hmm. going to be lots of teaching and learning and music, and that's the 12th of July to the 18th mm-hmm. of July. And Guy Davis will be one of the folks that are going to be hanging out over in Center Harbor.
Oh, yeah, you come on over there. Come on over there. Don't matter what I'm teaching. I'm subversive. I'm liable to start teaching anything.
Oh, boy. Can you play another tune? Subverse us some more, would you?
Yes. No, here's a nice...
Subvert.
Very
That's the word, subvert.
Tune. I'm going to subvert things here. but I think in a way... This tune... first heard when I was 8 years old. I heard it at that summer camp run by Pete Seeger's brother. This song is called Kisses Sweeter Than Wine. And I didn't know until very recently that Lead Belly had something to do with the writing of this. He took a tune that was an old Irish drinking song, and he started jiggering with it, maybe performing it back in the late 40s. He died in 1949. But the Weavers were made up of some of Lead Belly's former students, including Ronnie Gilbert, and Fred Hellerman, Lee Hayes, and Pete Seeger. They took that tune, and they turned it into Kisses Sweeter Than Wine. Welcome to sing along at home. When I was a young man, never been kissed, I got to thinking it over, what I had missed. I got me a girl, I kissed her and then, oh Lord, I kissed her again. Oh, kisses sweeter than wine. Oh, to marry and be my sweet wife. Said we'd be so happy all of our life. I begged and I pleaded like a natural man till, oh Lord, she gave me her hand. Oh, kisses sweeter than wine. Oh, kisses sweeter than wine. Worked mighty hard, both me and my wife, working hand in hand to make a good life. Corn in the fields, wheat in the bins. I was, oh Lord, the father of twins. Oh, kisses sweeter than wine. Let me hear you at home, come on now. Oh, kisses sweeter than wine. Now dance. Children numbered just about four. They all had sweethearts knocking at the door. They all got married and they didn't hesitate. I was, oh Lord, grandfather of eight. Oh, kisses sweeter than wine. To go, we get to thinking what happened a long time ago. We had lots of kids, lots of trouble and pain, but oh Lord, we do it again. Oh, kisses sweeter than wine. Oh, kisses sweeter than wine. Oh, kisses.
You had some Weavers fans singing along to that one, Mr. Guy Davis.
Good. Good. I'm so glad. These songs are alive because people sing them. I mean, we have recordings by the Weavers and by Pete Seeger and by Leadbelly and Son House and Robert Johnson that open our minds and may allow us to hear genius, even genius who is not present in front of us. But the musicians here, I think it's our job to take those songs, learn them, and allow people to hear those same songs alive once more.
The Sonny and Brownie's Last Train album was kind of a suggestion by Fabrizio Poggi. But if you were to just conjure up your own dream CD or dream recording of someone that you feel like you want to pay tribute to, who would that be?
Off the top of my head, without too much thought, because we're on radio and the clock is ticking, I would say Blind Willie McTell.
Mm-hmm.
But if I dig in deeper, I would like to go and pay tribute, not necessarily with their own words, but to people, authors such as Garrison Keillor.
Mm-hmm.
He left a rare gift to America. I mean, thus far, and it continues, mm-hmm. You know, a rare gift. And here we are in a world that is increasingly digital, where everything is recorded and you have it on this and you have it on that. He allowed us to see these pictures and magic and paintings again without any device in your hands other than a radio to your ear. And that's the kind of voice that grandpas and grandmas want to speak to the grandkids with. Those storytelling voices. I remember the best times I ever had with my mom and dad were being a kid in bed and they're sitting there reading stories to me and to my sisters. This is not quite what you asked me.
It's okay.
It's just that if there was going to be a tribute, it might not just be a pure and simple musical
sure.
artist. Somebody who does music and stories. And so I got a lot of thinking to do about that.
Do you have a book in your backpack? Do you carry a book in your backpack?
At this moment, I don't, and I'll tell you why. It's because I'm on tour and I've got four stringed instruments, and I'm not really going to have a lot of reading during these few days. Plus, once I get off of this, I got to go back into the recording studio to mix what I hope people will hear soon. But a little ways back, I did have a book in my backpack, and it was Garrison Keillor's Reader. Though I've read other stuff by him, it was just, you know, collections of some of his stories.
Didn't he do WLT? Remember that with Lettuce and Tomato? It's about a radio station. I feel like that might have been his.
Okay, I actually didn't remember if that
That's
was
okay.
It. That in my book. I also more rarely will carry the picture books of R. Crumb, the artist, as politically incorrect as a lot of his stuff is. His honesty made it very palatable, some of the things. So those are a couple of the books that I've been known to stuff into my backpack.
What about your next book on your bedside table? Do you have any idea what that's going to be once you're settled down and you don't have to be on the road for a while?
I have one, a biography of Mance Lipscomb called I Say Me for a Parable. And I read it once, but it needs rereading because so much has happened since I read it. I've forgotten it. And the flavor of Mance's speech, Mance, of course, being one of the musicians discovered during the folk and blues revival of the 1960s. He, along with Mississippi John Hurt and others. So I would like to bring that back up onto my nightstand.
When you look at the road and you're touring, it's a long road.
Oh, yes.
It's a long road. So what do you do to take care of Guy Davis on that long road?
Oh, you're asking me a big question that does not have an easy answer. I've got my family. I reach out to my son, but sort of like me, he's not very in touch with me like I wasn't very much in touch with my dad and my mom. He is when, you know, for the important things, but not just to talk a little every day. I reach out to my girlfriend, and we reminisce about something I'm looking at right now, coffee.
You reminisce about some time that you had together.
Yeah, time we had together. But our day is started with coffee. Mm-hmm. We have our own little coffee ceremony, and sometimes I recreate Mississippi John Hurt's coffee song, and we sing it. And, you know, there's a lot of love in her coffee, and there's love, there's music. There is something that is intangible. And when I'm on the road, tangibility is not something I have a lot of.
Right, sure.
I mean, it's me, hotel room, a lot of guitars, strings to change, sleep I should be getting, but I'm sitting up, you know, doing something. Oh, Lordy. Oh, my God.
Well, what keeps you going back out? It's tough.
What keeps me going out is I love being in front of people and performing and singing songs, telling stories. I hate traveling. I abhor airports and missed flights and running with luggage. But this is the price I pay so that I can do what I love doing.
We are going to be looking for your next album, and we're going to be looking for you on the calendar. I know you've got a lot of festivals that you're playing. You're going to be in Maine this summer, and you're going to be over at Center Harbor, New Hampshire. Also, you also have a performance happening over in Norwood, Massachusetts. So you'll be near us, but we'll be looking at your calendar and wondering how Mr. Guy Davis is doing with that new CD. If you want to keep in touch with Guy, find out what he's up to, you can visit his website. It's guydavis.com. He has a mailing list there as well, right?
I do believe.
Yeah.
I stay off my website as much as I can. Yeah. Let my manager.
Sure.
I'm an artiste, you know. I have to,
can't handle all that.
The soul.
The minutiae.
Oh, yeah, minutiae.
One last tune for us.
Okay, that's a good idea. I just got to think of what it's going to be. My gosh.
Well, don't think too hard.
Oh, I won't think too hard.
I don't want you to strain your brain.
Oh, that's very kind.
I'll have to make another cup of coffee. So grateful for Guy Davis for stepping in to our studio here at the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
Maybe I should. I'm going to try just a little piece of this tune that I toy around with sometimes with my girlfriend. Mama, give me a little. Just one of your precious love. That little girl used to cook me some coffee. To the last drop. She cooked it for me every morning. Won't you cook me little? I just want a little. Drink me of your precious love. Now, she went away to the girl. Some say she went to Memphis, some say she went to Leland. I'ma go wherever I have to find and get me a new cup of coffee. Good to the last drop.
Guy Davis, thanks again for coming in. This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. I just love that guy. Instead of Maxwell House, it's Michael's House, of course. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and from Franklin Savings Bank, offering student checking with tuition assistance, no minimum balance requirement, and access to over 55,000 ATMs nationwide. FSBNH.bank. And New Hampshire's community colleges, preparing skilled graduates in every region of the state in high-demand fields, ccsnh.edu. Thanks for hanging out with us here at the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Next Sunday evening, we're going to have a visit with John Gorka and Cliff Eberhardt. They're going to swing by as part of their tour through New England. You know, they have their show next Saturday night with Cheryl Wheeler, Patty Larkin, and the great Christine Lavin. It's their Anna Winners Night Tour at the Colonial Theater next Saturday night in Keene. And we get to visit with them. So I hope you'll join us next and every Sunday evening here at the Folk Show.